resources and effort into building spaces for live music to be performed. And if there was ever...
This is Tommy Keen, and you're listening to 90.7 FM WGXC Accra.
There are everyday actions to help prevent the spread of respiratory diseases. Wash your hands. Avoid close contact with people who are sick. Avoid touching your eyes, nose, and mouth. Stay home when you are sick. Cover your cough or sneeze. Clean and disinfect frequently touched objects with household cleaning spray. For more information, visit cdc.gov/COVID-19. This message brought to you by the National Association of Broadcasters and this station.
WGXC underwriting support is provided by Mid-Hudson Cable, serving Columbia, Greene, and Southern Albany counties with digital cable, high-speed internet, and cable phone services for homes and businesses since 1971. Mid-Hudson Cable, all the right connections on the web at mhcable.com.
WGXC is made possible in part by the generous ongoing support of Shannon Greer Photography in Brooklyn, New York. Sustaining supporters are among the station's most dedicated listeners. They care deeply about Creative Community Radio, and their investment helps to sustain WGXC as a public platform for information, experimentation, and engagement in Greene and Columbia counties. You too can become a WGXC sustaining supporter by investing in community radio every month. Go to wgxc.org and click donate. Thank you for your support.
This is Tom Rowe with the WGXC Weekend Coronavirus Report for Sunday, April 12th. Governor Andrew Cuomo, Saturday, April 11th, said during his daily press conference that the decision on when or if the schools reopen statewide has not been made. His comments came hours after New York Mayor Bill de Blasio announced that schools in New York City would be closed for the rest of the academic year. Cuomo said only he, as governor, has the legal authority to make that decision, and it is still too soon to say when the schools will open back up. He said once schools do reopen, it will be coordinated across the metropolitan area, and he will talk to schools in Suffolk, Westchester, and Nassau counties. Quote, it will be coordinated with the business decision and the rest of the state, unquote, Cuomo said. Law enforcement officials are increasing efforts to force compliance with the executive order signed last month by Cuomo, banning social gatherings and requiring non-essential businesses to shut down. The state attorney general's office this week said it has fielded more than 7,100 complaints alleging employers are ignoring the executive orders signed last month requiring non-essential businesses to shut down. Many businesses, from bars to construction and excavation companies, have ignored state-issued restrictions and protocols during the pandemic. Just over 4,000 of those complaints were referred to the State Department of Labor for investigation. Under one of the earliest orders Cuomo issued, it is considered a violation of public health law for a non-essential business to stay open, and those fines start at $2,000 per incident and can reach as high as $10,000. Ulster County has launched a new online chat tool to give residents an interactive platform to ask questions or express concerns about the COVID-19 pandemic. The online chat tool is accessible via the county's COVID-19 virtual center. Residents are able to receive information 24 hours a day and 7 days a week with the tool, which was developed in partnership with IBM using the company's Watson Assistant for Citizens. Quote, in Ulster County, we have stepped up our game and will continue to push boundaries and explore even more ways to help our community during this trying time, unquote, County Executive Patrick Ryan said. IBM Watson Assistant for Citizens supports both chat and speech interfaces and is preloaded to understand and respond to common questions about COVID-19 based on the most current CDC information and other local sources. Greene County reported its first confirmed COVID-19 case in a nursing home April 10th. Greene County Legislature Chairperson Patrick Linger said a resident of the Pines at Catskill Center for Nursing and Rehabilitation is now in the hospital, but the New Baltimore Republican said he did not know whether the patient was admitted. Linger said the person had been isolated since they started showing symptoms, was tested April 9th, and received the results within 24 hours. Linger denied that anyone else at the facility is showing signs of illness. Greene County recently received 100 test kits from the state, which it planned to use in nursing homes, Linger said. Quote, it worked out well because the health department was already on their way there, unquote, he said. The county health department tested 57 of the facility staff and 32 residents, Linger said. In his April 11th daily press release, Columbia County Board of Supervisors chairperson Matt Morrell said Columbia County residents are doing a poor job of following social distancing guidelines. Citing Google COVID-19 community mobility reports, the County Department of Health said the numbers indicate a large number of county residents continue to work, many are visiting grocery stores and pharmacies, and others continue to visit friends and relatives. Quote, social distancing is still the biggest weapon we have in our arsenal right now, unquote, said Department of Health Emergency Preparedness Coordinator Chuck Kaiser. Morrell advised residents to follow the restrictions despite the impulse to hold family gatherings over the holiday weekend. Quote, I ask that all of us do so for the well-being of everyone, unquote, he said. Hannaford Supermarkets is donating $750,000 to various hunger relief and homeless outreach organizations in the Northeast during the pandemic. The New England-based supermarket chain's donation includes a total of $550,000 to food banks in Maine, New Hampshire, Vermont, New York, and Massachusetts. This includes $300,000 in new funds in addition to $250,000 in donations to the food banks. Hannaford's gift includes a total of $200,000 to organizations that work with homeless people. New York organizations will receive $180,000. Quote, we hope that this donation will help the most vulnerable of our neighbors meet their fundamental needs of staying fed and healthy during this difficult time, unquote, said Hannaford President Mike Vail in a press release. Hannaford also updated store policies for shoppers. They no longer allow reusable bags and are waiving fees on their plastic and paper bags. The grocery chain is also limiting the number of customers in their stores, depending on the square footage, and have installed floor signs designating one-way traffic flow. Columbia County announced a seventh death from coronavirus on April 11th, someone at Columbia Memorial Hospital in Hudson who came from outside the Twin Counties. Columbia County has 87 total cases, with 8 in the hospital, while Greene County has 43 total cases, with 5 in the hospital. At Albany Med on April 11th, nurses staged a protest about the lack of proper personal protective equipment. Leonor Greenwich-Bergali, a critical care support service stat nurse, said she was told to wear the same N95 mask 20 times before she got a new one, even though they are meant for one-time use, the Albany Times-Union reported. Governor Cuomo was asked about the protest at his daily press conference and claimed there was enough protective personal equipment for medical personnel and chalked the protest up to a breakdown of communication between administrators and hospital staff. Quote, we ask every hospital every day, what do you need? We've been getting every hospital what they say they need, unquote, Cuomo said. Quote, if there is a disconnect between the nurses and the hospital administrator, I can't help with that right now, but they should talk to their hospital administrator, unquote. But others agreed with the nurses about the shortage of equipment. Quote, during daily statewide conference calls, it's become apparent that many counties are frustrated with the lack of medical emergency personal protective equipment deliveries coming from the New York State stockpile, unquote. Columbia County Director of Emergency Management David W. Harrison Jr. said in an April 11th press release from Columbia County Board of Supervisors Chairperson Morrell. Quote, counties are working to purchase PPE on their own, but vendors differ and the delivery times are extended. In the meantime, as top-level New York State and federal officials say there is enough PPE for everyone, the counties are not seeing this, and our hospital, nursing homes, emergency services personnel, and other health care providers are still in great need of PPE. The last very small bulk emergency delivery of medical PPE to Columbia County was on April 1st. Our county leadership, which has been strong in their support during this COVID-19 pandemic, is again reaching out to our state and federal representatives to make sure they are aware of what's really happening on the front line, unquote, said Harrison. Cuomo also briefly addressed the growing dire situation with corrections officers and convicts in the state prisons before wrapping up his press conference. He said that the state, quote, prisons have total capacity to quarantine, unquote, and said he had nothing new to say about granting clemency to any prisoners to create more space in the facilities. The Poughkeepsie Journal reported that Rhinebeck-based artist Tom Blackwell died April 8th in a local hospital from complications of COVID-19. He was considered one of the pioneers of photorealist painting, a style in which the artist attempts to replicate an image as realistically as possible. His works are in the Smithsonian Institute's National Air and Space Museum, the Museum of Modern Art, the Solomon R. Guggenheim Museum, the Metropolitan Museum of Art, and other large institutions. This has been the WGXC Weekend Coronavirus Report, for April 12th, go to the WGXC newsroom at wgxc.org for more information about anything you heard here. The National Weather Service in Albany predicts a partly sunny Sunday with a high of 58, and a low around 48 with showers likely after 3 a.m. Monday, showers and thunderstorms are possible after 2 p.m. with a high near 64 and a low around 38 on Monday night. Tuesday should be mostly sunny with a high near 51 and a low around 33. You're listening to the radio, WGXC 90.7 FM, Acre, Catskill, Hudson, radio for open ears.
WGXC is made possible in part by the generous ongoing support of Spike Priggen of Catskill, New York. Sustaining supporters are among the station's most dedicated listeners. They care deeply about creative community radio, and their investment helps to sustain WGXC as a public platform for information, experimentation, and engagement in Greene and Columbia counties. You, too, can become a WGXC sustaining supporter by investing in community radio every month. Go to wgxc.org and click donate. Thank you for your support.
Wake up! Wake up, wake up, wake up! Up you wake, up you wake, up you wake, up you wake! This is Mr. Senior Love Daddy, your voice of choice, the world's only 12-hour strong man on the air, here on We Love Radio.
This is a pandemic. I felt it was a pandemic long before it was called a pandemic. All you had to do is look at other countries.
Stranded in my bedroom, no one to love. Then there he is.
Let us give you an update as to where we are today.
My favorite guy.
He's the earth and heaven to your giant Cupid hidden. Honey, we can see right through you.
Andy, can't you see? I'm in quarantine. A nervous wreck and scared as heck of COVID-19.
You're not nice, coronavirus.
But you bring hope when I can't cope. I guess I'm saying I love you so.
United, there is nothing you can't do.
Andy, my darling, this global pandemic is scaring me real bad. But watching your daily press briefings sure does calm me down. The way you manage to lead and inform without terrifying the living shit out of me or straying from the facts, and still find time to nurture my delicate spirit with adorable slideshows and relatable anecdotes about meatballs. You're wise, level-headed, eloquent, and sexy at a time when the country needs it most. It sure is a refreshing change from that mother... Oh, gee, I won't get into specifics. You know I don't like to be political. I guess what I'm trying to say, Andrew, is that you're my number one Cuomo now. And whatever you decide to be once this whole thing blows over, whether it's governor of New York or president of the United States or ABC's Next Bachelor, I'm with you now, Andy, only you. Even as I continue to light a candle, get naked, and pray every night for the speedy recovery of your brother, my first love, Chris. With his tight, wet t-shirts and his sweaty Instagram workout videos and his big... muscular, you know, actually, I'm still really into Chris, too.
Oh, Andy, baby, you're so strong and rational.
He's so smart.
From now on, I identify as homosexual.
Look at your
you're kind and smart. You touch my heart. Your polo shirts are nice. So I'm glad we've had
makes you
grow.
Chris.
90.7 FM. Accra, Catskill, Chatham, Coxsackie, East Chatham, West Chatham, North Chatham, and Old Chatham.
Welcome, radio listeners. You're listening to Bound by Books Youth Radio on WGXE 90.7 FM, Accra, Catskill, and Hudson, listener-supported radio for open ears. I'm Emily. I'm the director of the Hudson Area Library, and I'm from Hudson.
I'm Amelia. I'm a student at Hudson High School, and I'm also from Hudson.
I'm AJ. I go to school at Libri, and I live in Elizaville.
And we're trying to get our friend Lena to join us, but we're having some technical difficulties, so she may join us in a little bit. But in the meantime, we're going to talk about some books, because that's what we do every week.
Books we love, books we hate, bookish things.
All that good stuff.
I'm sorry that I missed the last one. I also missed listening to it.
Well, luckily, you can listen to the radio show anytime on WGXE.org.
Yay!
Go to the audio archive.
Yay.
So, we're all recording today our show from our homes, because the studios are temporarily closed and the library is temporarily closed. Lots of things are temporarily closed.
Most people think that their lives are temporarily closed.
Yeah. So what have you all been up to this week?
Well, we just got a new swing set and our friend Lou has just actually got to visit us. And I've been reading as usual.
Yeah. The swing set's all set up? That's nice because the weather's been lovely some days. Most days.
A few days.
It's nice to be able to go outside when you can, safely.
We have like 11 acres of land and we only use like 2 of them.
Wow.
It's funny.
Well, I guess if you get bored of those 2, you can expand.
Yeah, but the rest of it's all woods.
I used to play in the woods when I was a kid.
Ah!
I guess you just have to make sure it's safe in case there's like
ticks and
hunters
ticks
or
and
ticks,
ticks,
and ticks or monsters in the woods. How about you, Amelia? What have you been up to?
I finished The Tattooist of Auschwitz. I've been spending a shameful amount of time learning TikTok dances. And I have been continuing a weird series of collages I'm doing for art based off tarot cards.
Do you have a favorite tarot card you've made so far? Or artwork based on tarot cards?
Oh, geez. So far, my favorite one I've made is the first one I made, which was Death. Right now, I'm working on the Star, which I've been looking forward to making for a really long time.
I've been mostly working, but
what?
My job, because the library building is closed, but we're still offering programs and trying to get people access to resources. And so we're very busy, perhaps busier than when we're open.
Really?
Shocking. At least for me, it's a lot of work to shift your entire working life to remote work. But yeah, so in addition to work, I've had some nice Zoom calls with my friends and with my family. I did a couple game nights that were fun over Zoom. I played Codenames and Trivial Pursuit, and I won both games.
Yay!
My parents and I played Pandemic.
Oh no, did you save us?
We almost did, but then we always forget that when you run out of cards, you end the game.
So
we ended up waiting too long.
Yeah, I think I've played that game, and most of the times we did not successfully save the world, or if we did, it was...
Almost in ruins?
No, it was... Sometimes we thought we won, but then realized we were playing wrong. And we're like, we won because we cheated.
I mean, the goal of the game is to cure all the diseases. You don't have to eradicate them, but I always forget that you don't have to eradicate them. So I'm like running around getting like these little cubes out of everywhere, and it's so strange. But I don't have to be doing that. And then by the time I realize I don't have to be doing that, all the cards are gone, and we are sad. I think I've only won the game once.
Yeah, I don't even know. Because I know there were times we won, but we didn't really win.
Can I share a book?
Sure.
What, you want to talk about books on a book show? What is wrong?
So sure. My book is The Sisters Grimm by Michael Buckley. I'll read the description. For the first time since their parents were kidnapped, Sabrina and Daphne Grimm return to their hometown, New York City, to find Puck's family. Puck is from A Midsummer Night's Dream. But the fairy tale detectives get more than they bargained for. The Big Apple, wand-wielding fairy godfathers, swashbuckling Wall Street pirates who wear suits and drink cocktails.
Good for them. They're living their best life.
Subway-stealing dwarfs. And worst of all, hidden among all these urban ever-afters, a murderer. This isn't the city Sabrina remembers, a place where she spent happy, normal days with her family. Even her memories of her parents aren't safe. As the sisters Grimm investigate the death of an important ever-after, they learn that their mother kept a secret from them that might lead to that evil organization, the Scarlet Hands.
So that's part of a series, right?
It's the fourth book. I only read the fourth book.
Was it okay jumping right in?
It's fine. I know what the characters were, and since there were some flashbacks, I can just make up what the story was, and hopefully it was accurate.
Do you want to know a fun fact?
Yes.
Before WGXC was on the air, thus before Bound by Books was a show, I did I think it was a pretend radio show, or it may have been like a radio show where it was broadcast just at Germantown Community Farm. I think that's what happened, where this young woman named Quinn, who was the original Bound by Books co-host of mine, and I talked about books on the show, and she talked about a book pretending that she was Barbie talking about a book for some reason. And she talked about that series.
Oh my gosh.
Fun fact.
That's funny.
So in a way, the first Bound by Books show ever, although it wasn't called Bound by Books and it wasn't on WGXE yet, was about that series. Huh. And it was co-hosted by me and Quinn, a.k.a. Barbie. Barbie, the original co-host.
If you're listening, then that's very nice.
It's so funny.
So what do you think of that series so far? Do you think you'll read more?
I want to get the fifth book, but because of the coronavirus, I know that I'm going to have to wait at least a day to get it. An extra day, because Wormley's out of all the packages.
I ordered a cute custom mask. You know, the kind of like the teeth on the outside with the pattern. And I need to wait a very long time for it to show up. And I'm very sad now.
And was it for the coronavirus or was it just for fun around the house?
Both. It has teeth on it. Of course it's going to be both.
I might wear it the rest of her life. Jinx. Yeah, one of my neighbors made a mask for me and my husband, so that was very nice.
Oh, my mom watched a video where it was on Facebook, I think, and it said that you can just cut up a bra and use the strap if it's not strapless for a mask. So it's like this part, and then you go put the strap around.
Yeah, I've seen some funny pictures on the internet of people with like a bra that perfectly fits their face and then like a larger bra that's taking up their whole face.
And there was also this one picture of a man with a paper shopping bag with two holes on his head, and my godfather also wore it. I am invincible.
My mom made me wear a mask when we went out walking, and I hated it. I just hate the way it feels.
Yeah, but it does feel
odd. I know I should.
Odd.
I hate feeling your breath back on you. It's just weird.
Yeah, that's the thing. That's what I don't like about it. It's weird. I have not read a lot since finishing The Tattooist of Auschwitz, but I have listened to some story narrations online while I'm doing my art homework.
Cool.
So
where do you listen to them?
YouTube channels. I found there are quite a few that do scary stories. Sometimes they're, you know, creative writing scary stories. Other times they're actual true stories from people who have encountered, like, weird stuff. Hmm. Like breaking and entering genres, all kinds of weird things that people have witnessed. There are a few channels that I really enjoy. Lazy Masquerade, Bebusta, Your Maker, and Mr. Creepypasta, who made that anthology that I talked about last time. But I've been listening to Mr. Creepypasta a lot.
I like that he's Mr. Creepypasta, not just Creepypasta.
There are, yeah.
Very formal.
It's kind of funny. It is very formal.
It's formal, but it's funny. It's like, oh, you're Mr. Creepypasta.
He's a really good narrator, too. He can really, like, emphasize the story. And a lot of them are in first person, so that's, like, important. The one I'm reading right now was one that was originally written on a Reddit forum, I think, but I don't know which one, called Search and Rescue Stories. It's a very long series. Basically, this man starts out talking about his job as a search and rescue officer, and it starts out where you think that he really is a search and rescue officer, and he's just talking about the cases he's had that have gone wrong. So it starts out sounding like a very true story, but as he kept writing it, he began to add the weirder and weirder stuff. So now you like know it's a piece of fiction, it's creative writing, but you don't lose interest because it's very well done. So even when you get to the point where you know it's fake, you can like suspend your disbelief to be like, wow, this guy is seeing some really cool stuff and really creepy stuff. It has weird moments. It doesn't rely on gore too much, which I think a lot of these things do, unfortunately, but this one really doesn't, and it makes it a really good read.
Yay. I haven't been reading quite as much this week, although I've been listening to a book that I talked about on the show as one that I was planning to read called We Ride Upon Styx. Basically, there are two books that came out last month that feature field hockey teams, and I played field hockey in high school, so I decided I wanted to read both of the books. And one of them's a contemporary fiction novel, and the other is a historical speculative fiction novel, and that's the one I started with.
Emily?
Mm-hmm.
What's contemporary?
Contemporary is like present day, realistic. So basically a book that feels like it could take place today in the real world. And then the historical one is set in 1989, and it's speculative fiction, because it's about witches. I can read the description for you. It's so that one's called We Ride Upon Styx by Quan Berry, and the intended audience was adults, but so far it reads like it could be of interest to teens as well. And the description goes, set in the coastal town of Danvers, Massachusetts, where the accusations began that led to the 1962 witch trials, We Ride Upon Styx follows the 1989 Danvers High School Falcons field hockey team, will do anything to make it to the state finals, even if it means tapping into some devilishly dark powers. In chapters dense with 1980s iconography, from heathers to big hair, Berry expertly weaves together the individual and collective progress of this enchanted team as they storm their way through an unforgettable season. Helmed by good girl Captain Abby Putnam, a descendant of the infamous Salem accuser Ann Putnam, and her co-captain Jen Fiorenza, whose bleach blonde claw sees and knows all. The claw is her hair, by the way. The Falcons proved to be wily, original, and bold, flaunting society's stale notions of femininity in order to find their glorious true selves through the crucible of team sport and, more importantly, friendship.
Sounds interesting. I like it.
Yeah. So far it's fun.
Emily?
Yes, AJ?
You think I'll be able to read it? It sounds very interesting.
Possibly. I haven't finished it yet, so I don't know if it's age appropriate or not, because it is intended for adults. So I'll have to see by the time I get to the end if it feels like something that's right for you. But it's fun so far. I like it. And I like the, I grew up in the 80s, so I like all the 80s references. They have like a book that they write down all of their deeds that they do to like get their special field hockey powers. And the book is named Emilio Estevez because it's a notebook that has this actor that was popular in the 80s named Emilio Estevez. So they always talk about Emilio. I really want to see the hairstyle. I wish I had a picture of her with the claw. I want to know what that looks like. But yeah, so I've been listening to that. I also read one recently that's a picture book, but it's a nonfiction picture book that I thought was really cool, called The Next President, The Unexpected Beginnings and Unwritten Future of America's Presidents. It's by Kate Messner with Adam Rex. It's the illustrator. And it goes through the history of our country from the time that George Washington became president to present day, and then looking ahead to the future. And the way that it works, the timeline is really interesting, where it goes through each of the presidents, but it doesn't talk about each of them at the time that they were president. So they'll introduce George Washington and be like, when he became president, this many future presidents were already alive, and this is what they were doing. And so when it introduces a president, the ones that are alive, some of them are in Congress, some of them are working some other job, some of them are teenagers, Some of them are babies. So it's really interesting to think about like the passing of time and how many different backgrounds our presidents that we've had in the past have come from. So even though diversity has been low in many ways, they come from very different beginnings. You know, they've had many different careers that brought them to become president. And so it kind of leaves on this note of like, who are our future presidents? It could be like any number of people. And what are they doing now? Like,
that's interesting.
Like if Amelia was our future president, mm-hmm, right now, right now she's on the radio.
Yep.
I'd vote for you, but I wouldn't blame you for not running. I wouldn't.
I would definitely run for president.
What would your platform be? Like, what would you want to change in our country or make happen?
Improve everything.
Every single thing?
Every single solitary thing that needs improving. And even if it doesn't need improvement, I'll make it even better.
Nice.
Okay.
Work with me. I get even better. Hey, yay. AJ, 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 go, yay.
All right, that was our special guest doll. That was
her name is Riley.
Riley. Riley's on AJ's campaign team.
Yay!
Wow.
Oh, so I wanted to also mention our library is doing a fun challenge this month. We were supposed to have on Saturday, April 4th, we were supposed to have the Woke Baby Book Fair. But as you might imagine, we had to postpone that. So we're still hoping to offer it someday down the line. We just don't know when yet. But in the meantime, we're working with our curator in residence, Mahogany L. Brown, who is a poet who I read some poems from a book of hers last week. And so we're doing the Woke Baby Challenge this month. And so basically what we're doing is every Saturday, we're announcing a challenge that families and children can take part in during the week. And then the following Saturday, we announce the winners and we announce the next challenge. And they're all based on books from her Woke Baby book list and are just fun ways to get people creating and sharing and having fun. So our first Woke Baby Challenge that we're accepting submissions through Friday, April 10th, is to take or draw a picture that represents a rainbow to you. So people could draw a picture, they could take a photograph, they could like dress up in their most fabulous rainbow attire and take a picture and post it somewhere on social media and tag the library, tag Mahogany, and use hashtag Woke Baby Challenge. And then they get entered for some prize packs of books.
That's cool.
And so we thought it would just be a fun way to get people engaged and having fun doing some creative things. So that's our first challenge. And then we'll announce the next one on Saturday, April 11th, which is my dad's birthday.
Oh, happy birthday to Emily's dad.
Yay. He's great.
Yay.
I like that guy. Yeah. So feel free to check out our website. If you go to hudsonarealibrary.org and look for curator in residence, Mahogany L. Brown, or Woke Baby Challenge, you'll find that info. We also have it on our social media pages, which is Hudson Area Library NY. Because we're not the only Hudson Area Library in the world. True story. There's a lot of Hudsons.
How many?
I don't know, but enough that we're not the only one.
I'm like that, one more?
No, there's one
two?
In... There's more than that. I forget the number, but there's at least one in New Hampshire, Ohio, and I think was Wisconsin one? I forget. Every once in a while, people contact us about things that they think are happening at our library that are actually happening at a different Hudson area library. That's how I find out about them sometimes.
Funny.
Yeah. One idea, which I don't know if anyone's prepared for, but maybe you have something you can grab nearby. If not, but it's National Poetry Month in April.
Oh.
And I'm wondering if anyone has a favorite poem to share. Looks like AJ.
To Google Docs I go.
I have one.
Wonderful. Do you want to share?
Yes, it's about my adoption.
What's it called?
My Adoption.
Who's it by?
Me.
Oh, wonderful.
Adoption is like an angel answering someone's prayer. Adoption is what makes me me. Adoption is like being reborn.
That's really sweet. Did you write that just for fun or did you write that for school?
For school.
Yeah. Did your teacher or class give you any feedback on it? It's very nice.
I just read it and said, good job. And they sent home the paper and Mom loved it. So she hung it up on the fridge.
Yeah, it's very sweet. Excellent work.
Thank you.
Did you find one, Amelia?
I'm attempting to. I don't actually know where they went. I really hope I didn't delete them. Otherwise, I'll be really sad.
Yeah.
I mean, there's a copy of them somewhere, but I don't know where those copies are. So it's not like they'd be lost, but...
I can read one that I remember. We used to do poetry on the radio show a lot back in the early days, and I remember this as being one of Quinn's favorite poems. It's by Emily Dickinson. It's called I'm Nobody, Who Are You? I'm Nobody, Who Are You? Are you nobody too? Then there's a pair of us. Don't tell. They'd banish us, you know. How dreary to be somebody. How public, like a frog, to tell your name the livelong day to an admiring bog. I did that one.
Yeah, because
I'm glad apparently I was the only one who wasn't aware that that was the thing that existed, but okay.
So
I found them. They were not lost.
Oh, good.
My classmate Sam had that because we were going to do a poetry recital, and so I basically remembered it all those times.
Yeah, it's a very nice poem. But now Amelia has one for us. Is this also one that you wrote, or is it a favorite?
Yeah, this is one that I wrote. I don't remember exactly the prompt, but I think it was I was given a bunch of random words and had to put them into a poem as a general theme. Because it's titled Random Word Poem, so I assume that was the prompt you were given. Her corporeal form sleeps beneath the tulip tree where they laid her to rest all those years ago. Her soul, however, dances up in the heavens. Up there she makes the shooting stars, weaving their comet tails. For others, they are beautiful, those incandescent wonders. For me, they are a torment, a reminder that she is no longer here. She is happier up there. She makes the night sky shine brighter, and the angels sing in rapturous joy when her creations take flight. It would be selfish of me to wish for her return and exchange her joy for my own, to bring her back to Earth and deprive the cosmos of her star showers.
That's very nice.
Nice.
I haven't written a poem in years, I guess since I was a kid.
Mm.
I can't remember if they had us write poems in high school. Maybe. I don't know. I can read another one. This is one I also remember reading with Quinn, actually, because we used to try to read it all in one breath, which is a challenge. You have to read it really fast if you do it that way.
Yeah.
But it's
Do the I'm nobody poem in a breath.
Oh yeah, we'll test you after. Okay. So this is called They Loved Paper Clips by Lisa Jarnot. All right, deep breath. Okay. Let's see. They loved harmony. They loved anthills. They loved food and cookies and harpoons. They loved the sound of laces of the shoes and snow. They loved the snow on Thursdays in the rain. And when they met, they loved that too. And igloos and the trees and things to mail and chlorine. And they loved the towels for the beach and hot dogs and the pool. And also when the wind rose up, they loved the ceiling and the tide. And then they loved the sky. And I took a number of breaths during that poem. I did not hurt myself. You have to read it really fast to do it in one breath.
Yeah.
Like, they loved harmony, they loved anthills, they loved food and cookies and harpoons, they loved the sound of laces of the shoes and snow, they loved the snow on Thursdays and the rain, and when they met, they loved that too, and igloos and the trees and things to mail and chlorine, and they loved the towels for the beach and hot dogs and the pool, and also when the wind rose up, they loved the ceiling and the tide, and then they loved the sky. That was one breath.
That's funny.
Can I just try to do the I'm Nobody one? I'm Nobody, Who Are You? By Emily Dickinson. I'm Nobody, Who Are You? Are you nobody too? Then there's a pair of us. Don't tell, they'll banish us. And you know, how dare you be somebody out public like a frog to tell your neighbor look long day to an admiring bog. I did not take a pause there. I just stopped.
I like that to do it in one breath, you have to start really low.
I did not take a breath. I just paused. I was like, da-da.
Yeah, it's just funny. You started, I'm nobody, who are you? I'm nobody, who are you? And then eventually your voice got back to normal.
Oh, I forgot to tell you guys. I wrote my two short stories for this unit in creative writing. Yay. And it was a lot of fun.
What are they about?
Okay, so the first one, well, one, I'm going to say that my friends in English blackmailed me into titling it this. It's called Godfish, and I guess that fits. They say it fits. I don't think it does, but I'm awful at finding titles for my stories. About a marine biologist who always dreamed of being an astronomer or going into space instead of being a marine biologist. So one day he's invited on a trip to explore a deep ocean with a bunch of other scientists and scuba divers. And he meets this fish that begins to tell him very strange things about space and how it knows about space. And now he can tell him everything he's ever wanted to know if he starts to throw his fellow sailors overboard when they don't suspect it. It's a horror story. My teacher really liked it. I'm pretty proud of it.
Yay.
It's definitely a story. And then the second one, which still doesn't have a title, but I'm thinking about titling it Identical, is about, oh, look at that. Someone's already edited it. I can't see the comments on my phone, but I guess I'll check that out later. This is the rough draft of this one. Mm-hmm. The final copy is not due yet, but in the rough draft of this one is about two twin girls who have never met their father, but one of them is always told that she takes after her father, and it's said to be a very negative thing that she takes after her father, and she doesn't realize why until she reaches a certain age and realize their father. There's like werewolf undertones, but I never call him a werewolf because I wanted it to be up to the imagination. Point is, he is like a form of a transforming monster, and she is also a kind of transforming monster.
Cool.
And then it just follows that whole narrative.
That's sort of rough. When does she transform?
In my story, it says she did at the age of 3. The actual story isn't so much about her transformations, but more over something the mother does in order to try and make life better for the daughter that isn't a monster. But that would be like a spoiler if I were to say it. And I don't know if you guys would ever want to read it. So
that'd be fun.
I will not
read your stuff.
Spoil it.
I would want to.
So I know that in your creative writing class, you often get classmate feedback in general. Is the way that you get feedback the same as it was when you were in school, or did you do it more in-person feedback?
When in school, the teacher would tape our work to several portions of the classroom, like on the walls and desks. And then we would have like a gallery walk is what she called it, where we would walk around, read the stories, and write down criticisms or things we liked about the story. But we obviously can't do that now. Yeah. So we are told to email it to the teacher and two other students. I kind of missed the way we did it before because I liked seeing everyone's comments rather than just two, but it's the best we can do.
Maybe if you have any that are short enough that we could read on the radio sometime, maybe you could read a favorite super short story.
Both of the ones I just talked about had the requirements of being above 1,000 words, but neither of them breached 2,000 words. I don't know how that goes as reading length is regarded, but I do have microfictions that are below 1,000 or 500 words. Those could be more suited to radio.
Yeah, maybe we can hear one in a future week. Maybe AJ has some other writing to share too. I could see if I have any old embarrassing stories from when I was younger that I wrote. Probably not nearly as good as anything you all write.
That'd the one microfiction that I would love to read on the radio maybe is also in the genre of horror, because that seems to be my niche. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, we'll have that to look forward to on a future show. But we should wrap up, say goodbye for this week. Thank you to everyone out there listening. Hope everyone is well, staying safe and healthy and entertained and engaged and reading lots of books.
Yay.
Have a good week and happy reading.
See you guys.
You're listening to The Morning Show on WGXC 90.7 FM.
Jesus Christ, he was a pretty good guy. Jesus Christ, he was a pretty good guy. Da 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 da. Da. Hello? 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 A really good guy. Oh, beep, bop, bop, beep, a bop, a beep, boom, 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 bop. Oh, my God.
guys. It's me, your old friend, Dan, on the Battlefielders show every Tuesday night from 10 to 12. That's right. Oh, yeah, how you doing out there? How's your grocery list? Fat with fats, brain fats. Hope you're getting those brain fats so you can do those adult coloring books that you love so much. Yeah, you are really good at those adult coloring books. Helps your quarantine. John Prine, who for five decades wrote songs that had the working day, working people struggles in it, basically completely changed American roots music, died today at Nashville's Vanderbilt Medical Center. He was 73 years old, John Prine. He had had some cancer surgeries in his past, recent past, but the complications were related to COVID-19. Oh, COVID-19. You took one of the good ones, John Prine, one of the best. Bob Dylan said that his stuff was pure Proustian existentialism, Midwestern mind trips to the nth degree. And I would also have to agree with that. John Prine was an American legend, something grown out of the soil, out of the dirt. Grew up in Maywood, Illinois. His father was a president of the local steelworkers union there in Illinois. And they listened to Jimmy Rogers and Carter Family and Hank Williams. And he just put it through this blender of his mind, this incredibly funny, also somber mind, and came out with some of the best lyrics in that genre. And the genre was all his. So we're really sad about that. Hal Wilner also passed away, one of the most amazing arranger, director, composer, wrangler of souls. Worked at Saturday Night Live for a long time and put together some of the best tribute albums. I won't even go into it all. I'm just going to start playing their music. Here's John Prine, When I Get to Heaven, right now, Battlefield Earth.
When I get to heaven, I'm going to shake God's hand, thank him for more blessings than one man can stand. Then I'm going to get a guitar and start a rock and roll band, check into a swell hotel. Ain't the afterlife grand? And then I'm gonna get a cocktail, vodka and ginger ale. Yeah, I'm gonna smoke a cigarette that's 9 miles long. I'm gonna kiss that pretty girl on the tilt of the world. Cause this old man is going to town. Then as God is my witness, I'm getting back into show business. I'm going to open up a nightclub called the Tree of Forgiveness and forgive everybody ever done me any harm. Why, I might even invite a few choice critics, those syphilitic parasitics. Buy them a pint of Smithix and smother them with my charm. Cause then I'm going to get a cocktail, vodka and ginger ale. Yeah, I'm gonna smoke a cigarette that's 9 miles long. I'm gonna kiss that pretty girl on the tilt-a-whirl. Yeah, this old man is going to town. Get to heaven, I'm gonna take that wristwatch off my arm. What are you gonna do with time after you bought the farm? And then I'm gonna go find my mom and dad and good old brother Doug. Well, I bet him and cousin Jackie are still cutting up a rug. I wanna see all my mama's sisters, cause that's where all the love starts. I miss them all like crazy. bless her little hearts. And I always will remember these words my daddy said. He said, "Buddy, when you're dead, you're a dead peckerhead." I hope to prove him wrong, that is, when I get to heaven. 'Cause I'm gonna have a cocktail, vodka and ginger ale. Yeah, I'm gonna smoke a cigarette that's 9 miles long. I'm gonna kiss that pretty girl on the tilt-a-whirl. Yeah, this old man is going to town. Yeah, this old man is going to town.
That's the way that the world goes round.
Pretty nice fella, kinda confused. Got muscles in his head, ain't never been used. Thinks he owns half of this town. Starts drinking heavy, gets a big red nose. Beats his old lady with a rubber hose. Then he takes her out to dinner, buys her new clothes. That's the way that the world goes round. That's the way that the world goes round. You up one day, the next you down. It's a happening to water. You think you're gonna drown. That's the way that the world goes round. I was sitting in the bathtub, counting my toes when the radiator broke. Water all froze, I got stuck in the ice without my clothes, naked as the eyes of a clown. I was crying ice cubes, hoping I'd croak when the sun come through the window. The ice all broke, I stood up and laughed, thought it was a joke. That's the way that the world goes round. That's the way that the world goes round. That's the way that the world goes down. That's the way that the world goes round. One day, the next you down, it's a half an inch of water, and you think you're gonna drown. That's the way that the world goes round. That's the way that the world goes round. That's the way that the world goes round.
Next, we have an interview from
WOOC.
To learn more about this program, the Sanctuary for Independent Media, visit us online at mediasanctuary.org.
This is Spencer Keeble with the Hudson Mohawk Magazine, and today I'm joined by Liz Moran, Environmental Policy Director with the New York Public Interest Research Group. Thanks for joining us, Liz.
Yeah, it's my pleasure to chat.
I just wanted to ask you today about some of the environmental measures that were added in the state budget that passed last week. And you released a statement on behalf of NYPIRG, said that there were some important strides by elected officials in the state budget. So what were some of those environmental measures that passed?
Yeah, we were really thrilled that the governor and the legislature, in the face of this crisis, still came together to pass really important measures to improve our shared environment and protect public health. It's times like these that really show why stringent environmental and public health protections are so important. Because the bottom line is the most important policies protect the future generations of the public and protect public health and take a precautionary approach. So some of those measures that were included in the state budget includes new funding for our state Clean Water Infrastructure Act. There's nothing more important in a global pandemic than having access to clean water. A proposed $3 billion Environmental Bond Act. The state also passed a ban on polystyrene, more commonly known as styrofoam. And we also have now banned fracking in statute. So those are a really good package of environmental initiatives that we accomplished.
Do you think that this year's environmental budget, that there are more measures passed this year than recent years?
Last year, we had a very good budget for the environment as well. There was also an increase in funding to the Clean Water Infrastructure Act. New York State's plastic bag ban was passed in last year's budget. So this is now the second in what appears to be a trend now of the legislature and the governor working together to pass some important environmental bills. So this was a remarkable budget, and I hope we get to the point where these types of initiatives aren't remarkable anymore, that it's commonplace that the legislature is doing this business because it's the best thing to do in the public interest.
Yeah. Do you think maybe with the current pandemic that maybe a change in perspective in terms of preparation might take place?
I think it has to. The governor had discussed this during his briefing today. I think a number of advocates and members of the public are coming out of this understanding there's no going back to what once was, and how we move forward as a society, as our political system moves forward, we have to change how we do policy. We have to make sure we are doing policy that is in the public interest. And the federal administration is doing the exact opposite of that right now. The Trump administration, in the midst of this pandemic, are rolling back critical environmental regulations and protections, allowing the oil and gas industry to effectively do what they will. And we already know that environmental justice communities are going to be the same communities bearing the brunt of this virus. They are far more susceptible because of the existing air pollution in their communities. We can't allow that to continue as a society. We have to move forward with policy that is going to protect public health so we aren't decimated when things like this come up.
And so you mentioned that last year's environmental budget was pretty robust as well. What do you think has brought about this shift in the past couple of years towards more environmental measures being included and more priority?
The public speaking out. For example, the plastic bag ban didn't come out of nowhere. There had been years of organizing for plastic bag ban, and we saw that by all of these local bans that took place first, that were born out of local community organizing. The fracking ban that we have this coming year. New York State would not have banned fracking had it not been for the tremendous grassroots movement that was on the ground, passing moratoriums in local communities and relentlessly pushing the governor to move in the right direction on fracking, to take a precautionary approach and ensure the public would be protected from this dangerous practice.